Well, pass us a call. Come on.
Just at least
someone
one.
Call
Handler.
We have one minute.
Come on, Handler. Call. Call Handler.
Oh.
Phones are fixed.
Maybe. Come on.
Do it.
My phone's ringing too, actually. What the hell?
Well, we could always do speakerphone on, like, the phones in here.
Who is it?
Hello?
It's probably LaCooter's mom calling on the phone over there. She'll call in and...
The Cougar?
I don't know if somebody's calling. One second.
Who is that?
I don't know. Somebody calling people.
Put them on speaker.
Oh, did I do that? Yeah, I do that.
Speaker. Speaker.
Put on the speaker.
Oh, it's Handler. Hold on one sec.
Oh, well, that works. Hi, Handler.
One sec.
Coming from A-Freak's cell phone?
Come on, it's noon. Hurry.
Hold on.
Hurry!
You know, one button. You should be able to hit one button.
This is a Chinese phone. Handler, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
There we go.
Hey, Handler. We can hear him on the air.
Why aren't you at Hope, Handler?
Hey, how do I sound?
You sound like
Handler. You sound like you're coming from a cell phone that's going across a microphone.
But it works.
I'm calling from Skype to Google Voice.
That's even better.
Skype to Google Voice through a phone to a microphone.
This is awesome.
We're obviously very high-tech hackers.
Why didn't we think about doing this? Giving out, like, Google Voice numbers and just making people, like, let them call in us.
True.
We should have thought this before.
Well, I'm changing this number after the next Hope anyways. I don't care. Give out this number for all.
Well, it doesn't matter. You can set any number you want to. Block. You can just block numbers and it just drops it when they call.
Exactly.
It just says, this number's been disconnected. Click.
Handler, are you still there?
Yeah, I have to go to work soon.
Sing something for us, Handler. I want to hear you sing.
Say something about your neck of the woods in Canada.
Uh-oh.
30
seconds left.
Oh.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Okay, we need a moment of zen.
A moment of zen is on irc.2600.net. Go download an IRC client.
All right. I guess we should run away.
All right, Handler. I'm hanging up on you.
And keep listening to Radio Statler.
Yes, keep listening to Radio Statler.
Thank you, Radio Statler, for having us and letting us take up some time.
I'm waiting for him to say, you're welcome, but unfortunately it didn't work.
You're being very friendly for a Canadian.
All right, I guess it means we gotta get going now.
Yeah.
This is
depressing.
I know, isn't it?
Such a fun show. You guys should have got here earlier.
I was trying, but Darko was like, I want to talk. And then everybody's up in the room talking.
Aw, we're off the air.
Hi folks, this is Arco with Radio Statler. I'm going to be giving you a brief slice of Statler in just a moment, but as is a quick programming note, we will be bringing you the Julian Assange talk at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time after the show that's about to come up, which is Logical Psychosecurity, hosted by Joshua. And here's your just slice of Statler.
Hi, this is Arco with Radio Statler, and I am here to bring you a slice of the convention, and in this case, it is a very specific and somewhat amber slice. So, I'm here with...
I'm Night Owl. I've been manning the Mate distribution table for something in excess of 12 hours.
Which is pretty normal for the volunteers here.
Yes, certainly it has been so far.
Yeah. So, for those of the world out there who have never heard of Club Mate, to their obvious detriment, explain what it is.
Club Mate is a an iced tea like soda made from the yerba mate plant. It originates in South America. It's naturally very high in caffeine. It has a slight bitter taste, but no more than, say, an unsweetened iced tea, which I actually think is probably the closest flavor I can describe it as. Because it's really a unique flavor.
Yes. It's also a very caffeinated flavor.
It very much is.
Being as you're up for 12 hours is...
Well, I've been up far longer than that. Yeah. I've just...
been demanding this one.
Yes. And we have about 100 milligrams of caffeine per bottle. Yeah. That's a half-liter bottle. We do have to caution some people about
caffeine poisoning.
Well, yes. We generally recommend, at an absolute maximum, no more than a bottle per hour and a half.
Yeah.
Generally, we recommend for most people that they try to keep it well below that.
So how much have you sold? I'm seeing this huge stack of empty boxes?
Well, I think when I closed up at like 4 a.m. or so, I could definitely confirm about 24 cases.
Wow.
That we had emptied and sold bottle by bottle.
And for the audience, at the time that we've been interviewing here, about 4 people have come up and bought it.
Yes, so, this is actually a slow time for us. We fully expect that, like yesterday, we'll have a time this afternoon where we just cannot cool the bottles fast enough to keep up with how many we sell.
Well, I wish you all the luck in the world, because it sounds like you'll need it. And this is Arco with Radio Statler, live from the mezzanine level of hope.
All right, folks, this is Logical Psycho Security with Joshua.
All right, well, welcome to Logical Psycho Security. Josh Marpet here. You might see me on Twitter as Quantling the Geek. You might see me online at datadevastation.com, all over the bloody place. But first, I got asked about, why did you name your show Logical Psycho Security? It just doesn't sound right. And I went, well, security's supposed to be logical, so that's one reason. I said, and most of us are psychos, that's another reason. But why logical psycho security? And the answer is because, you know, security is composed of logical security, or information security. Security is composed of psychological security, which is people, because people really make up security, InfoSec. And frankly, because it was just a cool combination of words, and I had to do it, I'm sorry. So, you know, what we've got is a security model these days that's based around people, places, and things. Okay, that's great, that's cool, that's your definition from, I think, CISSP. But you've got people running it. And in the end, if you don't have people running it, you're really screwing things up. So logical psychosecurity is all about, what do you do when you've got crazy-ass people running your security systems? And I just wanted to sort of riff on that and see if anybody's going to be writing in. I think we've got an IRC client. I apologize, everybody. I'm a little disorganized and out of breath. I just talked up in the Tesla room. I think they're about to have the keynote speech up there now. And so it's really kind of an idea. Is he going to be arrested on stage? But anyway. So I just talked up in Tesla, and I was scheduled for an 11 o'clock talk and a 12 o'clock radio show. So I told everybody in the talk, hey, when I end, I am booking out of here. And they're like, oh, they're lining up to talk to me. I'm like, I got to run, bye. And they're like, all right. I'm like, just call into the show, man. You know, call the phone number, call the, get on the IRC chat. There's all sorts of things going on. And I think we have a phone number for that, which they'll hopefully walk into me because I don't have it in my notes. And you can call in. And the IRC number, the IRC server and channel, they'll walk into me as well. But again, that's why I'm a little disorganized and a little out of breath and running like a crazed lunatic at this point. So I apologize. I'm very, very sorry. So, let's talk about security. What kind of security do we have in the world today? I've got a bachelor's in psych, so I find the people part of this fascinating, and I've done video surveillance for years, and so I find the technology fascinating for physical security, and I'm in web AppSec now, so I find the technology fascinating for information security. But in the end, it's really all about people. So, let's talk about that for a second. I find it interesting that when you talk about security, you know, you come to these conferences, and what do you see when you look around? You see a sea of people wearing black t-shirts, and it's kind of funny. We have our own dress code. But if you're not wearing a black t-shirt, people are like, hey, is that just like a really cool shirt? You got on the edge of fashion, or is something wrong with you? So you have this whole group of people that we all, you know, seriously disdain being sheeple, or whatever you want to call it, but we're all, roughly conformist. And so we all talk a lot of the same things and do a lot of the same things and hang out a lot of the same places. And as security people, as security information security professionals, we really do a lot of the same stuff. So, here we go. I've got the IRC channel and I've got the phone number now. How are we doing, guys? So I've got the phone number is 212-888-9033. And we've got our IRC chat line, which is on irc.2600.net, and it's hash radio-statler, S-T-A-T-L-E-R. So you can get on chat, you can get on a phone call, and but considering there's no phone in here, this could be interesting. But they have that all arranged. Of course, like I said, I'm the stupid idiot and walk down here in 30 seconds flat, so I don't know what the arrangements are, but these guys do. They're actually pretty good about it. They have constructed, I don't know if anybody's told you about this, but this is pretty amazingly professional booth, which I'm terribly afraid will fall on my head at any moment. No, just kidding. They did a really good job. They're real professionals, unlike me. As I said, I walked down here without any prep whatsoever. So let's see if we can get on the IRC chat. We're working on that right now. Anyway, so let's get back to security. We talked about security. And we have all sorts of people wearing all sorts of black t-shirts working on security. But what are we doing about it? Are we actually doing anything that's going to make a difference? Are we actually doing cool, new, and neat things? Or are we just doing the same thing we've always been doing? And this is where the people come in. So the people come in because the people are the ones that make the changes, the people are the ones that make the difference, the people are the ones that make the decisions to change your security posture, your security stance, your security technology. And I find the people here at these conferences, and I go to quite a few conferences every year, fascinating. So we've got, excuse me, everybody. We've got this, as I talked about, this horde of people in black t-shirts, and we've got to figure out how they tick. Because if I figure out how they tick, I'm going to know what kind of security they're going to have for me, and from me, and about me, and to me, and all sorts of me's. And I'm going to know what they're going to do for my company and to my company. And I think the two and the four are pretty good opposites there. You've got the white hats and the black hats. So we're working on the IRC right now. Hang on just a second if you're chatting and wondering why the hell this host isn't doing anything about it. Give me 1 second, everybody. We're going to get me on the wireless, and then I can get an IRC client running. It'll take just a couple minutes. Anyway, so what we've got, again, is that we've got this horde of black-clad, t-shirt-wearing, crazed lunatics, and we want them to fix my company and make it secure. Is that possible? And the answer is yes, it is possible. But sometimes it's difficult, and you've got to understand who you're working with so that you know if they're actually working for you or against you. So again, we get back to the people. So, and I hear Travis Goodspeed outside because I heard neighbor. And I'll tell a fun NeighborCon story in just a minute. Anyway, so, and I'm on the wireless. Dragorn, thank you. Mike Kershaw rocks with the wireless. He set up the network. I was stupid enough to actually ask him, hey, are you going to be around all weekend? He looks at me, it's my network. I went, oh yeah, you're going to be here. Sorry, dude. And I'm running, but apparently can't find the server at google.com. Oh, lovely. Oh, there we go. Okay. Now it works. Okay. So anyway, you as an information security consumer or provider have to decide and talk about the people that you work with. So, you know, if you're a provider of information security, you're a pen tester, you sell a product, whatever, you've got to decide if your customers are actually logical to work with or if they're psychos. And as a, as a consumer of information security, you've got to decide if the people who are going to provide you information security are logical or if they're psychos. So it's a very, very, very different world, if you will, than anything else. You've got to figure out if the people you're going to work with are serious or, well, bullshit artists. So, you know, if they're serious people to work with, if they're logical to work with, you can work with them. How do you tell? How do you know if the people you want to work with are logical or psychos? And that's a serious question. You know, I mean, look, if you didn't know who Mike Kershaw was, and I apologize, Mike, if you're listening, please don't hit me. Big guy, he could hurt me. You'd look at him and go, oh my God, he's got long hair, he's got a beard, he looks like a freak. Do I want him working on my security? And the answer is, yeah, because when it comes to wireless, the dude rocks. I mean, I'm going to pick another example. A good friend of mine, Chris Padgett, awesome dude. But Chris Padgett, you know, wears high heels to the office and occasionally will throw a dress on just for the heck of it. Well, that's cool. We're working on the phone system, sorry, but, you know, he rocks. I mean, Mike Kershaw is an amazingly awesome wireless guy, and Chris Padgett, if you need your hardware checked, if you need to know anything about a freaking cell phone, ask Chris Padgett. The dude knows everything. But when he walks in, and he's like 6'2 outside of his heels, and he puts on 5-inch heels, and so he's like, you know, looming over Godzilla, and wearing a dress and long hair and very, very long nails, and you go, oh my God, why would I want to hand him the keys to my kingdom, my network, my infrastructure, my mobile devices, whatever. Gee, thanks. It's making my... You know... Okay. Making my brain bleed. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Okay, so, you know what? No, I'm not slipping in any dick jokes. Thanks, Blob. But I will tell you, I'm on IRC now. If you guys want to ask me any questions, please feel free. I just gave a talk on video surveillance. And the video surveillance that I did was on facial recognition and your rights. And, you know, I did have a lot of people asking questions at the end of it. I'm going to shut up about my previous topic, and we're going to talk about video surveillance. Yes, Grish Navarnov. Yeah, you're right. It's not a big revelation, but it's something important. And if you're not sure how to deal with information security people, you're not going to know what to judge them on. Look, how many freaking... and somebody slipped on their own dick joke. How many suits, and you know what I mean when I say the term suits, know how to deal with you? Look, does anybody out there have long hair? Does anybody out there have, you know, a big earplug in their ear or brown, you know... brown contacts in or blue contacts, you know, whatever. So some body modification or some appearance modification that that can really make a suit get turned off. How do you get over that? You know, I'll discuss that if anybody wants to. But let's get back to video surveillance. All right. I'm switching topics quick. I apologize, but I'm getting some feedback on IRC that they don't want to hear any of it. So I'm just going to go back to video surveillance. Let's go to video surveillance and facial recognition. I just gave a talk on how to keep your face out of a database. I talked about how your rights are getting violated and sort of eroded, if anybody understands what I mean by that. So I spent an hour discussing it. I had a lot of questions afterward. If anybody has any questions about it, I'd love to discuss it some more. Blob has long hair. Yeah, you know, it's like, dude, I mean... I'm going to have to settle on a topic, aren't I? I'm going back and forth, and it's really stupid. Let's talk about people for a minute, then we'll talk about video. Okay, guys? So, if you have long hair, if you have earplugs, if you have whatever, then what you've got is you've got a problem. Because you look awesome. I'm not going to lie. You look great. But... the people who see you, and when you say, look, I need you to spend $50,000 on a serious pen test because we need to get this done and I can do it for you. And they're going to look at you and go, I'm going to give $50,000 to somebody who looks like the bum I just gave 50 cents to on the street? And I'm not saying you look like that, but you know what I mean. To their eyes, you do. But what do you do? Well, do you hide it? Look, I'm going to go back to a good friend of mine, Chris Padgett, who did that. He said, you know, he hid it for years. And, oh dear God. No GIMP masks at work, please. Anyway, the IRC is getting interesting. He hid it for years. He used to tell me he kept a dress and a suit at the office just in case. And that's cool and that's fine, but you know what? Eventually he just said, "I'm screw it. I'm hacking my gender. I'm doing what I want because if they don't believe my technical capabilities, I prove it to them. And then they better damn well believe it or I'm going to blow up their phone system." He didn't say that, don't worry. But, I mean, that's the kind of thing we need to do. We need to understand that what works for you... right, true, Metatron, absolutely correct. Whatever works for you, works for you. Will it work for the people you work with? Well, frankly, you know, I listened to one talk this morning by Lady Ada and Tyrone. Paul Tyrone? I can't remember his first name. From Make. And they said, look, don't work with people you don't want to work with. If you don't work with people you like, you're going to fail. And then they're right. You know what? If you don't work with people that can understand you as a person and can understand that you wear an earplug or whatever, then I've got a red light. Does that mean a phone call? Okay. Hopefully an engineer will come out and explain to me why I've got a red light blinking. Hopefully I'm on the air. Anyway, so let me ask IRC, am I still on the air? Okay, keep rolling. I'm told keep rolling. Keep rolling. Don't stop. Red lights blinking do not mean DEF CON 1. It just means that something's happening. Okay, anyway. So let's talk about people again. Work with people you like. Look, I don't look too outrageous. I'm bald and not too young anymore. But, you know, it works for me. If I dyed my hair blue, I would hope that my friends and my colleagues would understand that I'm still just as good a person and just as good an engineer as I always was. Oh, the light is saying you're on the air. Then why wasn't it on the air before? Good Lord. Okay. Anyway, so what I've got is... Oh, I'm getting some Twitter feedback. Lovely. I enjoyed it. So what we've got is work with people you like. Work with the people that enjoy who you are. Work with the people that do the things you do. You know, look, I shoot. I shoot guns, and I take people out shooting, and you would be amazed the wide variety of people that can get together at a shooting range and enjoy the hell out of shooting a gun and just having a good, safe, enjoyable time. And I've taken sea-level suits and, you know, guys out of the trenches of the NOC and the SOC, the Network Operations Center and the Security Operations Center, and, you know, with blue hair and green shorts and shoes that are falling off their feet. And at the end of it, they're slapping each other's backs and screaming about what a good time they had. So, I mean, they might not have gotten along before, but they found common ground. Always find common ground with your people. And so basically, you know, I enjoy what I do. I enjoy the people I do it with, and I want you to do the same thing. So let's now switch topics, because I can get back to this later. Let's switch topics and let's talk about light malfunction. Thank you, everybody. I really appreciate that. So, let's get back to video surveillance. And this is kind of a topic near and dear to my heart. I've put video surveillance systems in casinos. I've put video surveillance systems in, oh dear God, Las Vegas casinos, Indian casinos, prisons all over the U.S., people's houses, you name it. And every time I do it, I have all these questions that people ask me, and I'd like to share a few of the funnier ones with you. Will that work in the dark? Well, I just explained to you about the IR LEDs. Didn't you get it? Well, they're lights. Will they work in the dark? Like, they're lights that you can't see, but the camera can. Yes, it'll work in the dark. Are you sure? Oh, dear God. Douse the lights. Let's take a look. I get questions of, why do you need wires? Aren't all cameras wireless these days? No. I get questions about the systems. Why does it cost so much money? The camera's only $100. I've got to put 100 feet of wire in the wall. You know, that takes time. Well, doesn't that get included in the camera cost? I actually went to a casino once, and I don't know if you know this, but casinos have regulatory requirements they must meet for... Big Brother, good question. I'll get into that Galtron in just a second. Hang on one second. Okay, so... We put in a setup at a casino, and I said, okay, you need to have 30 days of storage by Nevada Gaming Commission rules, laws, whatever you want to call it, regulations, I guess, and you have this many cameras, it's going to take this much storage. And I'm sure you guys have done this, although maybe not with video surveillance. You're like, you need to have 45 people, you need to this many files, you assume this many files per person, we're moving over this much stuff from the old system, we need a SAN of about 10 terabytes or whatever. And they go, okay, and you go, and it's going to be $50,000. And they go, well, we can't afford that. Do something smaller. No, we have to have this. No, do something smaller. And you do it, and it doesn't work. And then they spend three times as much fixing what got screwed up, and then they blame you for it. Yeah, that happens. Basically, what we have is we had a casino where they needed 164 terabytes. Might have been 170, but I forget. Anyway. We told them what they needed, and we told them what it would cost, and they were like, well, that's too expensive. Dude, this is what you have to do. And they're like, well, no, we're not going to do it. I'm like, okay, we're not going to do it either, because by Nevada Gaming Commission rules, we're required to put in this amount of system. And they're like, well, can't you just sort of do a smaller system and we'll give you a little bit of the difference? Has anybody ever gotten that before? So, it's crazy. Anyway, you know what? I got a good question here. Galtron, let's... That's fascinating. I got disconnected from the server. So, Galtron, let me answer your question about Big Brother. You know, that was actually part of my talk. Good question, Metatron. I'll answer that in a second. Galtron asked about Big Brother. Is it a problem, yes or no? And the answer is yes and no. Here's the deal. If you're committing a crime, be careful about how you do it. Well, duh. But the problem is that a lot of people are committing crimes and not realizing how many cameras there are out there. Look, I worked with a lot of different systems. If you walk down, for example, anybody know Bourbon Street in New Orleans? If you walk down Bourbon Street, you're being webcammed and police cammed and, you know, whatever, about three times every foot of Bourbon Street. And the police cams are there because that's where the fights are, and the webcams are there because that's where the boobies are. And, well, you get the idea. So it's very, very difficult to commit a crime on Bourbon Street and not get photographed. Oh, I'll put a mask on. How do you think they're going to track you? Pick up the three guys wearing masks running down Bourbon Street. Duh, it's not freaking hard. So are there ways to do it? Yeah, that's true. But, there's a delay. Okay, anyway, there are ways to commit crimes and not get caught. And no, I'm not going to tell you everything because I don't want you to do it. I'd like you to still stay my friend and not get caught. You know who you are. You're out there. But basically, when my talk, I explained how there's various different methods to fool a facial recognition system and fool a camera system. I talked about all the different methods, or some of the different methods you can use. I talked about some of the different things you do. Wear different clothing. I mean, if anybody out there knows RenderMan, tell him to take off the hat. You know, I'm bald. You know, Josh, grow some hair. All right, whatever. Do something to change. By the way, if you'd like to call in and ask specific questions, you can call in at 212-888-9033. So, yeah, Metatron, you're right. You live in Metatron's in the UK, and if you're not being filmed, you're probably not in the UK. The UK actually has something called the Ring of Steel. Their financial district are amazingly cameraed. They basically cameraed every square inch of the financial district, I think it's six times. I'm not 100% sure, but it's pretty freaking ugly. Basically, if you're anywhere in London, you are photographed on average six times a step, or at least in the financial district of London. So it's extraordinarily difficult to commit a crime down there. I've seen some of the surveillance rooms in London. They literally have more screens than I've ever seen in my entire bloody life. And they're manned 100% of the time. They are actually watching their cameras. And that actually, Metatron, that goes back to your earlier question of Big Brother. See, in the U.S., we have a lot of cameras. Most of them aren't being watched. A good 80 to 90% of cameras are not being watched. It's such a big problem that in our litigious society, this is actually hilarious, there was a lady, and this is not the hilarious part, please forgive me, there was a lady who got raped. And it was in an alleyway. It was in a sort of out-of-the-way area, but there was a camera there. And she's like, great, at least we can catch the bastard because there's a camera there. What she didn't know is that camera was not only not watched, but the recordings go away in 24 hours. By the time the police got around to getting that, to asking the owner of the camera for the recording, it was already disappeared. It had been disappeared into the ether, if you will. They tried recovering it, but they couldn't. So she sued them, saying, hey, You have a camera. You're supposed to be watching the camera. And so literally in a lot of cities around the United States, you'll see camera not monitored signs by cameras for just that lawsuit, for just that reason. Because they're not monitoring that camera. There are significant numbers of cameras. Again, my personal guess, if you will, or educated guess, is about 80% of cameras at any one time are not being watched. And that's freaking crazy. Does that mean they're not being recorded? No, that's not necessarily true. But most places won't buy storage. Remember, we talked about the high cost of storage. Most places won't buy storage for more than 3 days, and that's if they buy storage at all. So, you know, when I go to casinos, or when I used to go to casinos, I had to fight with them. I'm like, 14 days for these areas of your casino, 30 days for these areas. Like, no. I'd lay out the rule book. I'd be like, dude, this is what you got to have. You know, and well, this other company said they could do it for $20,000. I'm like, yeah, because they're doing 3 days. That will get you shut down. No, it's not. And I worked the math on the numbers because video resolution X at X for at Y frame rate equals Z amounts of storage per minute or per second or whatever, you know, whatever your unit you're using. And they'd be like, whoa, we really do need that much. Crap. That sucks. And, yeah, Galtron, good point. We're going to... no, Frontbond, jeez. I've got somebody in IRC going, go in the sewers! You could definitely not get caught if you go in the sewers. And, yeah, well, no, you're just going to stink. You're going to walk in the bank and be like, get the hell out. You can't rob us. You can't even get in here. Get the hell out of here. Not going to work, dude. And actually... Galtron, good point. 90% of all crimes caught on cam don't get solved for just the reasons I was talking about. I don't know if that statistic is true for the number. I apologize. But a lot of them are very true for that reason. Either they're not watched, they're not saved, or by the time the police get around to getting the video footage, it's already gone. So if a crime commits and you want the video footage, get your ass to a lawyer. Get a court order right then, right there, that day if possible, and go get it. Okay? If you get it and it's secure and it's safe, you can then hand it over to the police, and they'll go, thank you, we really appreciate this. But at that point, you've got a copy of it, it's a legitimate copy, it's a legal copy, you've got it from a court order, and you got it in time before it gets erased. 3 days is really the maximum you can expect that video will be stored. If you wait for more than a couple of days, it's gone. And that, by the way, does include weekends. So if you have a problem Friday afternoon, get to a judge that afternoon, because it's going to take you until Sunday or Monday to find the security manager. It's all they're going to have on the weekends are the drones. And it's going to take until Monday to get the footage. And you better pray that they store it for 3 days. Okay? Let's go back for... I'm unable to think on my feet. It sucks. Okay. Thank you, Grishnov. Appreciate that. Metatron, you know, that's an interesting comment. Cameras just push crime to other areas. You know, that's actually a good point. I don't know if it's true. I guess... let me ask you a question. Metatron, you're in the UK, right? So, Metatron, answer me on... go ahead and answer me on IRC, but Metatron's saying he lives in the UK. He says that cameras push crime to other areas. There's so many cameras there. Where are you going to go? I mean, are there areas of London that aren't videoed as heavily? Please let me know. I'd love to know, Metatron. I appreciate that. Grish, totally, totally... No, no problem. Absolutely apology accepted. Possibility of a future police state. Galtron, good question. That's something I was talking about in my talk. And here's the gig. Look, you've got people that are taking away our rights. Let me explain. In the U.S., and Metatron, I apologize, I don't know the U.K. laws, but if you want to elaborate on IRC, I'll throw it out there. In the U.S., in Illinois, Maryland, and Massachusetts, if you video an on-duty, an active-duty police officer in the performance of their job, it is illegal and you go to jail under wiretapping statutes. That's freaking ridiculous, okay? So if you can be put in jail for videoing somebody in the open with no expectation of privacy, well, then I'm not sure if that's a police state, but that's sure as hell going a distance in a direction that I don't want to see happen. So that's why I just had a talk, and I was kind of vehement, and I'll tell you, I'm an ex-cop. I mean, so I'm pro-police, but I guess my point is I'm pro-good police. If somebody's committing brutality and they get videoed, I think that's their own damn fault. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, if there's a cop committing brutality and you video him, he should go to jail. I'm not going to lie. He should go to jail. There's no excuse for that. Now, if he's... in a fight with somebody who's fighting him hard, that's a different story. And that footage might actually help him get that guy in jail for attacking a police officer. That's fine. But if there's brutality, I'm not for that at all. Don't get me wrong. Please understand my bias. I want to make sure everybody understands my bias here. But look, if there's an issue where just videoing an on-duty police officer is illegal, I'm not happy. That's not acceptable. That's rude. That's inexcusable, in my opinion. So if that trend continues, then yeah, police state or some, you know, some simulation of it is definitely possible. I don't like that. I really don't like that at all. Illinois, Frogbond, Illinois, Maryland, and Massachusetts. And I had something interesting pointed out to me. Illinois is actually a one-party state. Let me explain what that means. Audio and video recording are very, very different animals. Audio recording came around from gangster times, all right? Video recording is modern. Obviously, we haven't had video recorders for that huge amount of time. But audio recording was, you had to have the right number of parties agree. So if I'm talking, if Rob and Sally are talking, Rob and Sally in a two-party state, both of them have to agree to be recorded for the recording to actually be legal. If it's a one-party state, or you have to have a court order, that's the other point of this. If it's a one-party state, if Rob wants to record the call because Sally's his ex and she's a bitch, he can do that. And if he goes to her house to drop off stuff like he told her he was going to do on the call, and she agreed to it, and then she calls the cop saying, he's here, please, it's scaring me. You know, he whips out that recording and goes, sorry, it's a one-party state, I was legal to record, I consented, she didn't have to, and sorry, end of story. And the cop's going to go, yeah, he's right, bye. You know, and you're going to jail for filing a false police report to Sally. Yes, life is good. So, yeah, that's true. Greenfield, Massachusetts. Good point. I will be talking about that in a second. Anyway, so that's audio recording. One party and two party states. Now, Illinois is a one party state. So, isn't it okay if you're expanding your audio law to include video of on-duty police officers? If I consent, it's okay for me to video him because I'm one party? No. They actually amended the law. It's still a one party state except for videoing on-duty police officers. Then it's a two party state. That is bull. Give me a frickin' break, okay? You're basically exempting police officers from having to be careful of their conduct. That is BS. Let's be serious here, people. Come on. If it's inside a jail, a restricted environment, a courthouse, a trial, that's one thing. That's a restricted environment. You're not in the public. You have, good Lord, excuse me, you have some expectation of privacy. But if you are in the public, if you're like, look, walk down the sidewalk, do you have any expectation of privacy of your picture of your, you know, someone taking a picture of you or a video of you? Hell no, there's no expectation of privacy. Someone takes a picture of you, if they use it commercially, that's a different story, but if they're putting in their family album, it's not your, you have no call, you have no say, done deal, end of story. Okay, police have the same thing. If they're in the public, they're in the public. So I've got some. Ooh, Galtron, where can I get some more information from this topic? For me, it's fine. My talk is going to be going up on my website shortly. My website is datadevastation.com. www.datadevastation.com. That's funny. And my talk will be up there. It's not up there now. It'll be up there in a couple of days. Give me a few days. I'm actually rebuilding the site. There's just a placeholder up there now. Some cool pictures. We shot some computers and threw it up there. But I'm going to have all the slides for my talk and a little write-up that I do. So that I can basically, that's how I generate my slides. I write up my talk in my head, write it down, and then I generate slides off of that. Most of my slides are just pictures. They're not going to mean much to you unless I actually put up the write-up there too. But that'll be up. Give me a couple days, please, if you don't mind. And then it'll work. Calc, I don't think they have streams of the talks. If you're here at the Next Hope, they're selling DVDs up in the hallway by the elevators. I vaguely recall they're $10 each, and if you buy 10 of them, you get 2 free. There's also t-shirts up there. There's the con t-shirts. I'm wearing one right now. I am extraordinarily proud of it. It's an awesome t-shirt. Talks about Kalea. Talks about carnivore and all the different ways that they can tap your phone calls, your internet connection. It's really cool stuff. But Galtron, there's a couple of other places you can get some information. I used a couple of sites that I really like. CarlosMiller.com, just like it sounds. CarlosMiller.com. He's got a great site about photography being criminalized, and it is being criminalized. Make no mistake about that. I'll get into that in a second. There's another guy named Bert Krages, B-E-R-T, Krages, K-R-A-G-E-S, B-E-R-T, Bravo, Echo, Romeo, Tango, Krages, Kilo, Romeo, Alpha, Papa, Echo, Sierra, .com, and there's a downloadable PDF there. And that downloadable PDF, you just literally carry it around with you, and it's your photographer's rights. So if a cop walks up to you and goes, give me your SD card! You go, really, sir? Here's my rights! Then he beats you with a baton, takes the SD card anyway, and you go to jail. No, hopefully not. But as for streams of the talks, Calc, I think the only way to do it is the DVDs. I'm not sure. If you find out, let me know, please. If anybody finds out, throw it in the IRC or give me a call. Again, you can call. It's a 212 number, 212-888-something or other. And I'm looking for Windows. Give me a second. I had it up. 212-888-9033. 212-888-9033. And also, of course, we've got IRC at irc.2600.net, radio-statler, S-T-A-T-L-E-R. Please hop on the IRC channel. So, how did I get disconnected from the server? Lovely. I'm in the radio booth. I get disconnected from the server. There we go. Rejoined the room. Okay. Anybody that sent something in a second ago, here we go. You know what? You're right. I will send out Rick darkrages.com and what was it? CarlosMiller.com, right? Sorry, I didn't HTML them, but you get the idea. Just cut and paste. And those have some great articles about the what's going on in the UK as well, actually. Galtron, you'll like this. Or Metatron, rather, sorry. You'll like this. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it. They don't have streams available for all the rooms, so we're not streaming them. They're being polite, essentially, to the ones that didn't get streamed because they don't want them to be second-class citizens. Nick, thank you. I very much appreciate that. So basically, in the UK, they actually... there was a great story not long ago. This was, I think, a 12-year-old boy. And if you go to Carlos Miller, I think it's his top story. It's awesome. He actually was photographing a group of cadets from, like, their equivalent of West Point or something like that. And but they're kids. They're, like, you know, the junior West Point or junior ROTC or whatever you call it. And he was taking some nice photographs. He wasn't being rude. He was just going... They're out in the public. They're performing for public, like they're doing a parade thing. And he's taking pictures of them. Like, I'm taking pictures of the parade. I'm 11 years old or 12 years old or however old this kid is. What's wrong with this? I don't see anything wrong with this. The cops freaking went after him. They called him a pedophile for taking pictures of young kids. They tried to confiscate his camera. This guy was brilliant. I want to meet this kid. He turned on his, I think it was his phone or his camera, his audio recording, and he was audio recording the whole thing. So they're asking him, give us your camera. You're a pedophile. And he's saying, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. What am I doing wrong? State the law. Quote the law. Quote the law. He just kept at them. They finally left him alone. I love this kid. It's awesome. Go to CarlosMiller.com. I think it's the first link. It's a video. You can watch that video. You'll laugh your ass off by the end of it. I guarantee. Either that or be standing on your chair screaming, yeah, give it to him. It was awesome. Grover, I don't think there are streams for everything. Sandhurst, yeah, and Metatron, thank you, you're right. I don't think there are streams for all three rooms because the streams were not working right. But, dude, it was hilarious. You got to watch this video. It's great stuff. So we've got a lot of content that we've talked about. Nick says that they're working on the AV people to stream the rooms to the servers here, the internal stuff that they're going to store and keep for permanently, which is important, of course. And they're having some problems, but the public streams are on the back burner, so leave it alone. Frogbong, what'd you like? Tell me. So anyway, the Sandra story was great on Carlos Miller. That was awesome. Big shout out to that kid, whatever his name was. But we had a lot of content in the talk. I did a lot of slides. Again, they're going to be public in a couple of days. I'm happy to give away. Actually, I've got like five talks on the back burner that I've given. I try to give an original talk every time I speak, and so I'm just going to put them up for public use. I'm going to, I'll throw a copy left on them, but not a problem. Anyway, going back to the police state, there's so many ways to hide your face. There's so many ways to hide your body style or body shape or whatever. There's so many ways to do things that you can commit a crime. I strongly recommend you don't commit a crime. And remember, if you're committing a crime that you need a mask for, you're trying to commit a crime in the wrong line of business. You work in InfoSec. Do it with a keyboard, not with a gun. Okay? And even then, please don't do any crimes. I'd appreciate it personally. I'm sorry. I need to do a disclaimer, which I forgot to do at the beginning. I work for White Hat Security. Nothing I say should be taken as coming from White Hat. This is me personally doing this. Joshua Marpet from Data Devastation, not Joshua Marpet for White Hat. Please just do me a favor. Don't write Jeremiah Grossman screaming, oh my God, your guy was saying to commit crimes. He will be upset with me. please don't do that. New driver's license recently. Oh, dear God, the real ID stuff. That's awesome. I think it was on the CarlosMiller.com page, Galtron, for the, let's check real quick, hang on. Real ID stuff is great. I actually have a lot of slides in my presentation I gave today. Oregon, Delaware, Nevada, I think. They all, not only are they doing, ooh, no, it's not his first story on Carlos Miller. Let's find it. Let me see if I can find the, I'll see if I can find the story and put the link out in just a second. I know it was on Carlos Miller. Wow, he does awesome. He has a lot of good stuff in here. I'll do a search in a second. Anyway, Real ID, a lot of state DMVs are not only doing Real ID, which means that you have to prove who you are, which I'm kind of okay with, But they're also doing things like, as long as you don't link them to a federal database. Guns work too. Yeah, that's true. Thanks, Frogbon. But what they do is they are doing facial recognition on the databases. In North Carolina, did anybody remember? I think it's almost a year ago now. The FBI did a facial recognition search on the DMV in North Carolina. What does that mean? They took every DMV picture in North Carolina and ran it through their We Want Them, you know, warrants, wants, that kind of thing database to see if they could find anybody. Now, they found one guy who was a schmuck, small-time guy. But, I mean, they're also... there it is. Thanks, Grishnov. Lost my train of thought. Okay, facial recognition. The FBI was doing the North Carolina database, and they did it as a test. They did it as a test for two things. One, can we do it? Will it work? And the second thing is, will anybody care? Now, this is the cool part. We cared. People got up and shouted, "What the hell are you doing? Look, yes, we want you to get our you know, the schmucks off the streets. We want you to get the bad criminals. We want to get the rapists and murderers off the streets." Everybody here is for that. It's not a problem, okay? But why are you doing this for everybody? You know, if there's a traffic ticket, you're going to come pick me up because you found my name and my face in a database? Give me a freaking break. That's ridiculous. Right. And so it's a privacy issue. I mean, what happens when the FBI subsumes all of the state DMV photo databases and pulls all that information? Now, can they access it now? Yes, they can. But here's the question. What will they do with it? Okay? If they have it in 50 databases that they have to search individually, it's a pain in the butt. Okay? As fast as they do it on Criminal Minds, it's not that fast in real life, trust me. Okay? What happens when they have a single database that they can search? What's going to happen then? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the premise that if it happens, it's a problem. This national real ID crap, that's all they wanted. They wanted a database of everybody in the country in one place. Why? Because doing it 50 times over for 50 different searches is a pain in the ass. They wanted to have everybody in the same database. You know what? That's fine. I live in New Jersey. I have my New Jersey license. I'm good with that. Now, I'm in the Louisiana database as well because I lived in Louisiana. I had a Louisiana license, and I was a cop in Louisiana. So I'm in several databases down there, okay? But up here, I'm just in one. I'm a New Jersey resident. I've got a New Jersey license. Thank you very much. I don't want to be in the federal database. It's a privacy issue again. You know, and that goes right back to that question about a police state. I mean, it's difficult when you have all that information not to use it. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. There are checks and balances on our system of government for a reason, because otherwise they would be abused. Now, you give any one agency, like Bush was doing with executive statements, or what did they call them, signing statements or whatever? Good Lord, it was crap. He was trying to take more power, trying to reduce the checks and balances. That was bad, man. That was bad stuff. That's inappropriate and wrong. So then you've got, you know, the FBI is trying to take all of this power and put it together. And I'm not really comfortable with that. I'm a big fan of the FBI, don't get me wrong. I think they do a great job. But I think just as any government agency, they need checks and balances. It's just that simple. It's not horrible. It's not hard. It's just the way it is, let's be honest. Okay? So, I mean, it's something along the lines of, if you want a check and a balance, you've got to make sure it stays there. And we've got to be sure that the checks and balances that we've instituted on the government in the past stay there. I've got some questions here. So I've got Frogbong, a moral dilemma with all of the surveillance. I've come to the conclusion that no human is justified to say what's right or wrong for us. You know, there's a lot of people that have talked about that in the past. You've got your rights end at the tip of my nose, you know, meaning don't punch me in the nose, because then your rights stop, and mine, to beat the crap out of you, begin. Yay! But there's also the rights that are out there, like, you know, if you shout fire in a crowded theater and there's actually a fire, or that's a good thing, right? What if there's no fire? Is that a bad thing? Well, yeah, what if somebody gets trampled and died? So does somebody have the right to say you shouldn't do that? I think so. I don't want to be the one that gets trampled and killed. Okay, so I don't know. Frogbon, I hear what you're saying. I'm not really sure that what you're saying is right, but I respect your beliefs, and if you find a place where you can do that, go to town. And, you know, I haven't had any call-ins. I'm kind of curious. Is anybody willing to call? 212-888-9033. You know what? I just got a tweet. A good friend of mine, Forensication, he's talking about how they're all waiting to see what happens at 1300, where the FBI is going to show up and arrest Julian. I'm kind of curious about that myself. Somebody let me know, please. Yeah, Galtron, I don't think we're going to talk about Obama and Bush. Dear God, that would open up a can of worms that's scary in so many ways, I don't even want to think about it. I mentioned them before. I do have a really cool slide in my facial recognition part of my talk today. I found the celebrity lookalike thing, which, by the way, if you've ever seen me, it thinks I look 50% like Christie Brinkley. Not true. I have various things that are not nearly as big as hers, and I'm not going to discuss them. Anyway, well, Tapeworm, the topic is basically talking about video surveillance and what rights the government have to do that, and the legalities of photographers and videographers' rights that we're talking about. And we're talking about how the rights of a videographer and a photographer are being eroded because they're taking the wiretap laws and expanding them to cover videography and photography. So, look, I mean, you know, if somebody says, I can't take a picture of whatever, let's say I can't take a picture of the Brooklyn Bridge because it's a national security. It's a major transportation artery, and everybody would agree it's a major transportation artery. It's also one of the most beautiful aspects of sort of industrial age architecture that I've ever seen. Wish you'd take... No, I don't think Galtron. It's beautiful. Has anybody ever taken a picture of the Brooklyn Bridge? It's unbelievably gorgeous. And I can't do it because it's a national security problem? You know, somebody actually tried to do that in London. They took a... And Metatron, you'll get a kick out of this. I forget which website it was, and if anybody can find it, please send me the link. But they sent a guy out dressed as a tourist, sandals and shorts and a t-shirt and a big camera bag, to take pictures of the London Bridge. And he did, because he's a tourist. That's what you do as a tourist. You take pictures of this gorgeous bridge that is London Bridge, right? So, then they dressed him up the next day, and they put a headdress on him and flowing robes and a camera. And he went to take pictures of London Bridge, and he practically got gang-tackled by three riot police cops that were just like, what are you doing here? And they kicked him off the bridge, and it was really funny. Same scenario, same exact place, same exact time of day, both weekdays, and the clothing gets you gang-tackled? This is getting ridiculous. Either it's a national security issue, or it's not. Don't do it that way. Okay? Jewel, okay, cool. Jewel wants to know if anybody will swap a badge with him. He managed to destroy the chip pads on mine. Oh, good. Jewel says he'll pay you $20 to get a good badge. Now, I'll give you mine. I don't have any chips on it, though. Sorry. Actually, I think there's more... I don't know if there's any more MSP430 chips. Talk to Travis. Travis Goodspeed, a friend of mine. Awesome dude. He built all the fab for the badges. He has the cool black badge. He's the only black badge person here. All the rest of us have these white badges. So we're the good guys. He's the only bad guy around. No, actually, he's a really good guy. Talk to Travis. And if you're on the wireless, say thanks to Kershaw, Mike Dragorn, and say thanks to all the NOC staff. All the 2600 is kicking butt here this time. I got to tell you, I'm having such a good time. So I apologize for being off topic for a minute, but I just wanted to give a shout out to 2600 because you know what? I'm having a great time. I'm enjoying the hell out of myself. The fact they have this huge hardware hacking village and great vendors area and just awesome talks, including mine, of course, are just amazing. I'm having such a good time, I can't even tell you. So, Galtron, what do you mean you're wrong? Talk to me. What are you explaining? I'm sorry. And Frogbong, sections of government and military operate under the nose of authority all the time. True, but remember, they still have those checks and balances. And this really goes back, I guess I'm kind of a traditionalist when it comes to the Constitution. Look, dude, they wrote the Constitution of the United States, and Metatron, forgive me for being, you know, sort of ethnocentric for a minute. But I think that we got a government that was perfect. We got a government that was balanced. We got a government that nobody could take over, nobody could do anything. There's no possibility of a coup d'etat because, frankly, the government was owned by every other sector. It's sort of like our government was a Raid 5 government. You have three sections, and it's reproduced in two other sections. So if you destroy one section, you can rebuild it from the others. I never thought about that before. We have a Raid 5 government. That is awesome, but we need to move to Raid 6. I think we need two extra sections. No, just kidding. But realistically, that's how it works. And so instead of having an executive branch that is all-powerful, we have an executive branch that is semi-powerful, and it controls the military. But Congress has to do an act of war for the military to do anything, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to change those checks and balances. They're trying to modify them. I'm not really comfortable with that. I think that if you're a cop, you should be prepared to be videoed anywhere in the world. If Tapeworm, come on. Give me a break. All right, sorry. I'm being asked about a UFO sighting in China. It's probably a B-2 bomber or something equivalent thereof. It's a gas bubble. It's marsh gas. That's it. That's right. And look at the bright blinky light and, you know, that Lady Ada built as a bedazzler, and please, you'll forget everything that you've ever seen before. Anyway, about the hit team, Galtron? Okay, so Julian's on stage now, or he's about to be on stage? Cool. Yeah, you know, Frogbone, that's actually a good point. That's a very good point. Every democracy in history has only lasted a few hundred years. Does anybody know that the United States government is the oldest government in the world? No, I'm not joking. There are governments that have been older, but at the moment, every government in the world was formed after the United States government. Every current government. We are the oldest government in the world, bar none. That's scary. So, you know, we have to work to protect the government that we have. We have to work to protect the lifestyle that we have. Part of that is making sure that we do... Someone kick feds out. Oh, wait. Seriously? They're here? No, I'm not going conspiracy, Galtron. I'm just saying that we have... that we have a government that was beautiful, and we got to make sure that we keep it that way. I think that, you know... Am I off the air? I think that people... I probably just kicked my headphones out. I think that people that are... Okay, headphones are dead, by the way, just FYI. I think that people that are trying to change our government, we should protect our government. I love the country I live in. I love my government. I think it's wonderful in a lot of ways. But I got to make sure that the government is doing what I want it to do. And if not, I vote. I protect what I believe in by voting. I protect what I want by working with groups that want what I want. Photographers' rights groups, videographers' rights groups. Look, I did video surveillance. I set up cameras that look at every freaking thing you can imagine. From rooms full of money to, you know, streets on the sides of New York. So my point is that, you know, if I go back to video surveillance commercially, industrially, whatever you want to call it, at any point in the future, I want to make sure that I can, you know, do my work and not have to worry about, oh my God, could an on-duty police officer wander into the field of view and really screw with things? So, I mean, it's difficult. VK, no, they're not streaming talks yet. I work with groups like Carlos Miller. I work with groups like, Bert Krages. I love his stuff. Awesome stuff. I want to make sure that our rights as videographers, as photographers, you know, are protected. I did a quick poll in my talk. Every single person in there raised their hand when I said, hey, who here carries a camera or video camera or camera with video capabilities? Every single freaking person. Most of them probably in their cell phone. We're all videographers. We're all photographers. And you know what? Yeah, we can do it underground and publishing and, you know, distribute it decentralized over the web and P2P and everything else. But I'd rather just be able to take a damn picture and show it to my family. I mean, it's that simple, guys. Okay? So protect your rights. Protect my rights. And I'll protect yours along the way as well. And I'll keep doing these talks to talk about these kind of things. And I can't believe I've actually gotten through... about almost an hour of talking about this stuff, and I apologize. I didn't realize how long I'd gone. Remember that Radio Statler is online at irc.2600.net on Radio-Statler channel, and the call and number is 212-888-9033. I'm going to be going off in just a couple of minutes. I want to encourage you to come to my website, datadevastation.com. That's datadevastation.com, and if you can't spell it, get a dictionary. Okay, datadevastation.com, Josh Marpet, Quaddling Da Geek, if you want to follow me on Twitter, that's at Quaddling Da Geek, D-A-G-E-E-K. And I have a lot of fun with Twitter, I have a lot of fun doing stuff. I'm being told that at any time, who's the next show?
We're going to Julian's talk next.
And Julian's talk is going up next, and I think we're going to switch over to them in just a couple seconds. So, ladies and gentlemen... remember, call in at 212-888-9033 and go to irc.2600.net, radio-statler channel. And if you want to see me, go to datadevastation.com and at Quaddling Da Geek is my Twitter name. And I'll just put that on the... If I could learn to spell, it would help. Is my Twitter name. And please follow me on Twitter. I'll follow you, I promise. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and I hope my disorganized radio chatter on logical psychosecurity hasn't been too crazy. Take care and have a good day.
Till that night, as one to hide away from these games. know I'd never fit with you, I still like